With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
There are some books that when I read it, the first chapter, and I really like it, I will skip to the back and read the last chapter. Then I'll go back and read the rest of it. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I do that periodically. I read the last chapter. I don't necessarily recommend it, but that's what I do. But I want you to know that's exactly what God has done for us. And the way it ends is the best is yet to come.
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, The Grace of God Appeared to Secure Us. It's a part of our series, The Divine Blessings of the Incarnation. You may be a Christian, and yet, at times, may still feel insecure about your salvation or your relationship with God. But Jesus declared, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day." God's saving grace in Christ leads to his sanctifying grace, and it is assured to be completed in his securing grace. If you have your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. We're looking at verses 11 through 15. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, The Grace of God Appeared to Secure Us.
Well, look with me in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared. Now, what has it done? 1, bringing salvation for all people. 2, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. 3, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke, and with all authority, let no one disregard you. The grass withers, the flower fades, God's word abides forever. By his grace and his mercy, may his word be preached for you. So, the last couple of weeks, maybe three or four of them, I've done a confession at the beginning. So here's another confession. The preacher is going to make a confession. That always gets everybody's attention in the introduction. What in the world is he going to confess? Well, let me confess this. I read 6 books at a time. I know that sounds very weird, but that's what I do. And I am weird. I read 6. Probably you don't know anybody else that does that. I'm weird. I read 6 at a time. Don't know why I did that. Started a long time ago, and I just keep doing it. Reading 6 at a time. And I have 3 places. I'm going to beat Cindy. Because if you went to Cindy and asked her about the 3 places, I read the 6 books, she would say, those are not places. They are his nests. And they do look like a nest because there's books piled up all around them. There are 3 places, and I won't tell you where the 3 places are. But they're all in my house, and that's where they are, and that's where I do my reading. And I enjoy doing that. And there are some books of some literary genre that when I read it, if it's a good first, now not all of them, but some books in the literary genre, if I read it, the first chapter, and I really like it with that particular literary genre, I will skip to the back and read the last chapter. Then I'll go back and read the rest of it. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I do that periodically. I read the last chapter. And that's what I do. I don't necessarily recommend it, but that's what I do. But I want you to know that's exactly what God has done for us. He not only prophesied and promised and communicated to us all of his majestic work in saving us in chapter 1, He skipped all the way to the last chapter and tells you how it ends. And the way it ends is the best is yet to come. That's what he does. That's what he's done in this song of Paul. Now, I think that's very important for us for a number of reasons. I'm going to give you two reasons. You're going to hear one in just a moment and one a little bit later. But here's one reason why I think that's important. One reason I think that's important, because when you get a work of God in general and the incarnation, that is the appearance of Christ in particular, the inclination is human speculation. You know, what we have here in Titus chapter 2 is a song of the appearance, the epiphany, the outshining of Christ. The grace of God has, and the word is epiphany, has shone forth brightly. The grace of God has appeared. Doing what? And then he explains it to us. And then he tells us that the grace of God is going to appear again, waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing, there's that word again, appearing again, that it will appear again, God's grace in Christ. It's already appeared one time. It will appear again. And that's the last chapter. The first chapter is he comes as a redeemer. Then he writes the chapters of his redeeming work in your life. And then it comes to a consummation with the last chapter. And he's coming again. Now, that is important because here's what happens. When you hear the first chapter, it evokes and it moves us to make an inquiry and start speculation. For instance, what is the first song of Christmas that is sung? The first Epiphany song, the first song of incarnation. What is the first one? Well, you just sung about it, and that was the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And what did the shepherds say when they heard that song? Let's go see. Inquiry. And when humans inquire, they begin to speculate. Human speculation. So here's the incarnation, and the immediate response that is evoked is human speculation. Human speculation inevitably leads to human imagination, which will lead to human distortion of the incarnation. But God says, I'm not only going to reveal to you the incarnation, I am going to prevent you from speculation and distortion. I am going to give you the divine explanation through divine revelation. And praise God, decades later, another song of Christmas is written for us in Titus 2:11 through 14. And it not only announces what the angels announced, the first appearance, the appearance of Christ, that is the first advent of Christ. It not only announced the song of Christmas that the angels announced to the shepherd, but it wipes out any need of speculation and imagination through divine revelation that gives us the explanation. He appeared to bring salvation, to train us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, and to waiting for another appearance, waiting for the blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good deeds. So he gives us the divine explanation through divine revelation, so we don't need human speculation and imagination and ultimate distortion. So what is it he is telling us? Can I connect a few dots here from our previous studies? He's given us four blessings of the incarnation and revealed them and explained them to us. And the first blessing is this, that the grace of God in Christ has appeared, first of all, bringing salvation. And God's work of salvation is a work of salvation that saves us from something, to something, through someone, by something. He has saved us from our sins to Himself by His grace through Jesus. That's what He has done. He has brought salvation to us, and that we might have everlasting life, a salvation sufficient to be proclaimed to all the people and efficient so that none of His people are ever lost. So what did we learn? Here's what we learned. The grace of God in Christ that brings salvation to us also brings us to that Savior. The grace of God has come. The Word has become flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And He has come, why? To save His people from their sins. It is written of me in the book that I delight to do your work, and of the children you have given to me, I lose not one, but raise them up on the last day. So here is this glorious promise that He has come to bring salvation for His people from all the peoples of the world. And it is to be proclaimed to the world. Then He goes and brings His people to Himself. You know that grace that sent Him, that grace whereby we're saved, is the grace that comes and brings us to the Savior. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That faith that unites you to Christ and Christ to you, was a gift of grace from Him to you. And He brought not only salvation to you, He brought you by that same grace to Himself. And then when He did that, He didn't stop there. He's given you a new heart. He's delivered you from the power of sin. He's given you a new record. He has erased all of the penalty of sin, and He has given you His perfect righteousness so that you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He's given you a new record and a new heart, and He's brought you to Himself, but He doesn't stop there. That same grace then enrolls you in the school of sanctification, and that's divine blessing number two, and that is sanctifying grace, that in Christ we now have a new life. And the grace of God in Christ that not only brings salvation to us is the same grace that also enrolls us in the school of sanctification. Did you see that phrase? For the grace of God has appeared, one, bringing salvation to us, saving grace, then what? Training us. Now, maybe your translation has instructing us. Maybe your translation has teaching us. Maybe your translation has disciplining us. All of those are valid translations of that Greek word. But it means tutoring us, training us. And He gives you two textbooks in this school. Textbook number one, repudiate sin, renouncing ungodliness and worldly desires. Textbook number two, you not only put off the old man, you put on the new. Not only do you repudiate ungodliness, that is rebellion against God, but also the soil it grows from, unbridled worldly passions, but then you replace that with the new man, and therefore you embrace or you live sensibly, righteously, and godly. Sensibly. According to God's Word and the power of God's Spirit, uprightly or righteously. God, what I want to do is not the wrong thing, sin. I want to do the next right thing for the right reason, at the right time, for the right purpose. That's what I want to do. And when I falter, I thank You for Your grace. When I do what I don't want to do, when I don't do what I want to do, I thank Jesus, who stays the course with me and keeps me enrolled in the school of sanctification, sanctifying grace, setting me apart. And therefore, if we realize that the grace of God not only brings salvation to us, but enrolls us in the school of sanctification, whereby we deny, renounce, repudiate, sin and embrace righteousness in this progressive growth in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when all of that is taking place, if there is no evidence or interest in the latter, that is sanctifying grace, then there is no reason to suspect that you have the former. If you don't have the latter, that is sanctifying grace at work on you and in you, then there is no reason to be assured of the former, that you've been saved. Because the same grace that saves is the same grace that enrolls you and begins that process of sanctifying you. Well, where does that lead us? That leads us to divine blessing number three. And divine blessing number three we find in the next phrase. Look at the next phrase in your text. Waiting for the blessed hope. God's grace not only brings salvation, not only enrolls us in the school of sanctification, God's grace will appear again in Christ to secure us for Himself. Waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession. So you've got the first appearance that brings salvation in saving us, enrolls you in the school of sanctification, sanctifying you, and assures you He is coming back for you. It assures you. So we are waiting for His return. We are waiting for the return of Christ. So there is not only a first epiphany appearance, there will be a second epiphany appearance. Why? Because those whom He begins a good work in, He will complete. Father, all whom You've given Me, I lose not one. So there is securing grace. I think I mentioned this to you, I'm not sure, but if I didn't, let me mention it now. A person asked me, said, Harry, do you believe once saved, always saved? Well, I believe once God saves, we're always saved. Once God saves, He enrolls you in sanctification school, and when God saves and enrolls you, your graduation is He secures you. And He brings you to be with Him for all of eternity, to the praise and glory of His name. That's what He does, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He predestined, He called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, when in eternity past, He decrees His love to seek you out through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, in time, He calls you and justifies you, and in eternity future, He comes again to secure you. And notice, you have the same whom at foreknowing, predestinating, calling, justifying, and glorifying. There is an unbreakable chain. The whom here is the whom here at the end. He doesn't lose any. His saving grace leads to a sanctifying grace, and it is assured to be completed in a securing grace. You better believe, I believe, when God saves, He sanctifies and He secures. And those whom God saves can't be lost. And I can't tell you how glad I am, because if I could lose my salvation, I would lose my salvation. And so would you, because you wouldn't have taken it to start with unless He had brought you, and you wouldn't stay with Him unless He keeps you. It can't begin with you, and it won't end with you. It begins with Him, and it ends with Him, and you get the benefits. That's what God does for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. He secures us, and that securing includes He comes again for us. Don't you love, folks, hang with me just a minute here. Don't you love the intricate consistency of God's Word, how beautiful it is? Look at what He says. He says, Jesus, here's the grace of God, epiphany, appears in Christ, Christmas, incarnation. And he brings salvation. And then he brings you to himself. And then he enrolls you in his school. And he works on you. And as he's working on you, he'll keep working on you until he brings it to a consummation when he comes again for you. Now, who is it that appears the second time? Who is it that comes the second time? Who is it? It is our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The same one who came the first time. What did he do the first time? He came the first time. Time to give himself for you. He came the first time to give himself for you, who gave himself for us to what? Redeem us, save us, and to purify us, sanctify us. And he came to redeem us from every lawless deed. He came, he said, Father, here are the children you have given to me. Now, I give myself for them. All of your wrath that's due to them for every one of their lawless deeds, send it to me. I'll pay it. And then I'm coming again to bring them to be with me. When he came, there was no room for the Savior. But he came. He went to a cross and gave himself for us. And the one for whom there was no room has now made room for you. And has gone away to prepare the room for you. When he came, there was no place for him. But he went to a cross and took our place for us. To ascend in victory, to make a place for us. He gave himself for us, saving grace, to purify us, sanctify. Isn't that wonderful that his second appearance is the same one of the first appearance? And now, you want to know what he did the first appearance? He redeemed us. He bought us back. Ladies, I know you have, wait a minute. Hold on. I do not want to be unnecessarily chauvinistic here. I know men carry coupons too. I've been out with some of you. I mean, you take me out to eat, and we go out to eat, and say, Pastor, I'll get it. Okay, great. And then you pull out a coupon. I've been there. I know that. Well, you've got coupons. I've got coupons. Well, but boy, I don't have anywhere near the coupons my wife has got. I mean, you got coupons everywhere. And I love it when we go up, and they ring that thing up, and then she pops that coupon down. Okay, buy it back. He just throws it on them. I love that moment when that happens. Well, that's what Jesus did. He went to the cross and redeemed us, bought us back. From sin's penalty, he gives us a new record. From sin's power, he gives us a new heart. From sin's practice, he gives us a new life in the school of sanctification. And even from sin's presence, he's coming again to give us a new home. That's what he has come to do. In his saving, sanctifying, and securing grace, the one who is coming is the one who came the first time. And when he came the first time, he gave himself to redeem us, save us, to purify us, sanctify us. Well, who are those whom he saves? Who are those whom he sanctifies? They belong to Christ. Christ belongs to them. They belong to Christ. And they are stamped with the marks of his ownership. They are a people for his possession. Father, I'm coming again for my own. I am theirs, and they are mine. Do you want to know who they are? Their foundation is my salvation, and their life is my transformation. These who used to be zealous for sin are now zealous, not half-hearted, are zealous for good deeds. And when they falter, they don't do the good they would do. Or when they falter, they do what they don't want to do. They flee to me, and I forgive them and cleanse them and put them back on track. and I'm coming to finish the job and bring them to be with myself for all of eternity. The first advent, I planted them, and then I cultivated them. The second advent, I will harvest them. So what is our takeaway? Let me give it to you. Here's the takeaway. The takeaway is pretty obvious, so I'm sorry if it's not all that insightful, but hang with me. The takeaway is this. The grace of God that appeared in Christ to save us, that's past grace, is now enrolled us in the school of sanctification, and He is sanctifying us, that's present grace. But the best is yet to come, because He is coming again.
Jesus Christ will never lose any that the Father has given Him. God's saving grace in Christ leads to His sanctifying grace, and it is assured to be completed in His securing grace. Join us again next time as we continue in our series, The Divine Blessings of the Incarnation. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's broadcast was taken, write and request, The Grace of God Appeared to Secure Us, or simply ask for message number 14119. Again, that's message number 14119. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. In the world, the workplace, and even in the church, there is an obvious lack of biblical, godly, dynamic leadership. Dr. Harry Reeder's new book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter. It is a great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. The suggested retail price is $14.99, but now, through the Briarwood online bookstore, you can order it for just $12. 3D Leadership. Defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. That's briarwood.org/3D. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ and your understanding of God's Word. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours, free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.